Very much. I want to present this on behalf of my colleague Diane Rowland. She was formerly at our lab in Dawson, and we did a lot of this work together, and she could not be here at the last minute due to a family emergency, so I'm going to present for her. And I was involved in some of the planning stages of this project, but not so much on the actual, you know, investigation. So I hope I can do it justice. It seems to be a very good project that's been started. Again, we're looking at economically and environmentally sustainable cropping systems. And again, getting down to some of this conservation tillage aspects on a larger scale for, again, an area that has not had much in the way of conservation tillage in its history. So there's two techniques that we have here that improve crop water use efficiency. Conservation tillage is one I've already mentioned in the previous talk. It increases soil moisture, increases root growth, and changes crop water use patterns. Another concept that that we've been using out in western Texas and even in the southeast is a process we call primed acclimation. It is exposing the crop to moderate drought stress early in development to increase drought tolerance later on. The best example I have is it's kind of like getting a flu vaccine. You expose yourself to the disease early, therefore maybe making yourself less susceptible in the future. Same situation, some people call it regulated deficit irrigation. We've chosen the term primed acclimation because it is an acclimation response for the plant. So the best benefit may be to combine both of these two techniques together. And that's really the impetus of this research project, is to put two good things that seem to be working in other areas and bring them together in some sort of cropping system that can increase our profitability, productivity, and sustainability for the future. This was done in Uvalde, Texas, started in 2009 at the research station, which is down in South Central Texas. You can see a field shot of the pivot there. And it did have cattle in the rotation. Basically, it's a 50-acre pivot. Each quarter section divided up into some different crops, cotton, corn, and sunflower. In 2009 and 2010, we added peanut into the mix. It's grazed in ryegrass, and cattle, of course, removed before planting of our cover crops, or planting of our, cash crops in the springtime. One tillage system will be conventional till, deep tilled with multiple diskings. And then, of course, we use our strip till, much like I've just described previously, in-row subsoiling only into the cover crop, where you're only disrupting about a 12-inch band across the row bed. There were three irrigation treatments layered on top of this study as well. 100% irrigation, basically where we let the farm crew manage the field to their, with their experience, putting out 100% irrigation. The next one would be 70%. In other words, cutting back by nearly one-third on what they're putting out. The next is the 70 early, followed by 100% the rest of the season. This is what we call the primed acclimation. This sets the stage for later in the season. Basically, you're withholding from the plant early, exposing it to a little mild drought stress. And the key word is mild. You can't go too far with this. And then giving it some water later in the season, basically setting it up for maybe some further success later on. We call that primed acclimation. And it'll be noted by the term 70E. So you'll see three irrigation treatments, 100, 70, and 70E, knowing that that's 70 only for the first portion of the season. Here's a design of the pivot there. It's rather complex, split into different portions, and the pivot is regulated such that it can put out different amounts of water when needed. In 2010, again, added peanut, and I think they also did some work with sesame at the expense of sunflower that year. They also went in and tried to do some work with the cattle and put in some exclusion plots so they could look at some other factors, but we won't be discussing that today. And this is what part of the field looks like there. Conservation tillage on the left with the strip till, conventional tillage on the right, obviously no residue left on the ground to speak of, intensely tilled, and obviously opening itself up to huge evaporative losses. Here's cotton, again, looking at the conventional till, no residue to speak of on the ground except a little bit of decayed weeds, versus strip-tilled into ryegrass. You can see the rye residue still sticking around as the plants are growing well into the season here. Cotton lint yields, we definitely see, an advantage to strip tillage again, as I already presented some of the work in Georgia. Under a heavy irrigation system, we still see a response in lint yield to strip tillage versus conventional tillage. At a reduced watering system, again, we see an advantage to strip tillage. And under this primed acclimation, this sort of new irrigation design, we see a tremendous benefit to combining these two processes together to get quite a yield bump over our conventional practices, and that was overall our top yield there. So how much water did we actually save by doing some of these practices? Well, when you look in 2009 at the irrigation represented in the middle here, cotton at the 100% level put out 16 inches of rain, corn 15, sunflower 13, and under the 70%, we basically, on just looking at cotton, we cut back almost 5 inches, a little over 4 inches of water. So we significantly reduced our water, but as you also saw, we significantly reduced our yield as well. But under the 70E column, we only cut back about an inch and a half of water, but under current cost, we more than paid for that in our increased yield. And the important part to note about this is, well, an inch and a half of water doesn't sound like a very big increase, but it was this summer in South Texas where they had 63 or 65 days straight of temperatures over 100 degrees. So even under extreme conditions, these processes seem to work and hold true. And this just adds the rainfall into it. And you can see there wasn't much rainfall. If 16 out of 18 inches came from irrigation, this was an irrigated crop for sure. So we are able to save a little bit of water here. Of course, you know, we didn't save as much as we would like to because it was such a harsh year. But even under those harsh circumstances, we had success. So the lint yields from this past season, 2010, again, a little bit higher lint yields across the board because we had more favorable growing conditions. Under the well-watered 100% system, a slight advantage to strip till. I think those means did not separate out, if I remember correctly. Under the 70%, we actually saw a decrease in yield in strip tillage. Now, not sure what may be the cause for that, but there was a significant decrease in this particular instance in this field. But under the primed acclimation treatment, again, we saved some water versus the 100%. And this year, I don't have the exact figures, but I want to say it's on the order of close to 3 inches difference between the 70E and the 100. So we saved about, let's just say, if at conservative, we saved 2 inches of water, we basically got the same yield regardless of tillage system we use. So there's some merit to these systems in being able to save a little bit of water at the right time of the season. Corn yields, again, not a lot of difference in the tillage systems, but again, it's nice to point out that under a primed acclimation type system, we're able to maintain yield equal to our 100%. Again, if we save 2 or 3 inches of water, that can be a tremendous benefit to our producers. And also, just from an aquifer standpoint, as we look at depletions, which are very real in this part of the world, in South Texas and in West Texas, this could have a tremendous impact on what we're doing. Now, they also work with some potatoes, and I'll confess, I have know very little about potatoes, so don't ask me any questions about this slide. just kidding. But yeah, we do, again, see the same patterns falling out here. Strip tillage potatoes seem to work very well under high water situations, even under low water situations as well. But under this system, for some reason, the strip tillage did not perform as well. So I don't know really what's going on there. But I'll let you look at that data. Maybe somebody in here can tell me more about it. Again, we put out stem flow gauges in these plots, or I say we did. I did not do it, but I did some in Lubbock. Again, you can see how the stem flow gauges measure transpiration under, you know, well-watered conditions versus a dry land situation. You can see the sap flow is very minimal. Obviously, it gives us daily water use by the plant. And very similar data to what you saw in the last presentation. Up in Lubbock on cotton plants, we see that conventional till, represented by the orange bars, are moving much more water through the plants than are the strip tillage plants, represented by the green bar. And almost, slightly different scale, same trend down in Uvalde in South Texas, as we see much more water used by the plant under conventional practices versus water savings under strip tillage. So there was definitely some high water use efficiency going on in this field. And there's also a component of this study looking at nitrogen use efficiency. And I really don't know as much about this part as as Diane does, the lead scientist here, but I know they were looking at how incorporating legume versus grass cover crops may increase nitrogen efficiency, and we got to have a cover crop as part of our conservation tillage system. And again, there's the cattle component, so there's lots of different methods that and things to look at in this cropping system from a whole cropping system perspective. Click on through these rather quickly here. We're looking at lots of different methods, and again, this is mostly just things that are to come in this cropping system rather than research results. And lastly, since there were cattle in this particular cropping system, of course they were looking at performance, the average daily weight gains of steers on this cropping system and rotation. And again, I know very little about cattle, so I won't pretend to go into too much detail about this. But there are economists and animal scientists involved in this project as well to look at those components and see how they interact and how strip tillage may or may not fit in with the cattle component. So in closing, the primed acclimation and the strip tillage definitely seem to be mechanisms for drought tolerance that can help us in our cropping systems in this part of the world. And basically, she summarized it up to say we have improved conditioning, endurance, and recovery. And by that, we say that if you look at the yields, we have conditioned the crop to reduced water situations by using strip tillage and primed acclimation. Furthermore, the strip tillage seems to improve the endurance of the crop because it lowered the overall daily water use. Therefore, there's more water available later on in the season. And there seems to be evidence of recovery with strip tillage, which, of course, are important for drought tolerance. So with that, I'll close it and try to answer any questions as related to this project. Yes, sir.
Like in corn production, how long did you use the 70% and then give that? What time frame?
Right. I don't know in the corn how they did it. I can't remember. With cotton, we do it basically from stand establishment, say 10 or 14 days after planting, up to about mid-bloom. So that would be about 30 days. So about, say stand establishment would be 14 days, and the next 30 days or so, we would impose the drought. That's what we do in peanut, and I believe that's how they did it in cotton. Now, in corn, I can't remember exactly how it was done.
Excuse me, Wilson.
In this. Yeah.
Diane used sort of mid, about 50% of silking.
Okay, thanks.
To use as the switchover.
Great. Appreciate that. Yes, sir.
The conditioning of the plant, is that a genetic basis to it? Are you working with geneticists looking at whether there's some ESP present sequence tags that you can understand the mechanism that is underlying that principle?
Yes, we some of the co-authors of this paper up in Lubbock at the ARS lab are working on that. I don't know exactly what all they're doing, but they took a lot of samples during the year, pre-drought, during drought, post-drought, and trying to understand, again, those mechanisms. So we are working on that angle because that could be very important as well. One more? Or have we got?
Yeah, sure.
One more question?
Yeah, in either one of the two talks that you gave, do you have any information on the economy of scale of differences in those two procedures?
How so? I'm sorry, how so in the economy of scale there?
Economics. You used economics in your title. I didn't know if you had that data.
Right.
From the previous talk, maybe.
We've got some preliminary data. We're still working on that. But certainly when we look at water use and you put a dollar value to irrigations and savings, it makes a tremendous difference. We're working that up. We don't have that published yet, but it's in, hopefully, in the pipeline to come out very soon. But there is significant economic component to this, as you could imagine, when you begin to knock off, inches upon inches of irrigation that can possibly be saved. So it's coming, I should say. Thank you.
Thank you.